Well, good morning, Ashworth family. Thanks so much again for joining us at our online worship experience today. I am very excited to have another guest with me today to talk with us about how things have changed as a result of this pandemic and how it's impacted each of us in very different ways. And this morning, I'm very pleased to introduce to you, her name is Melissa Dale, and she works at the church down the street from us. She works at Lutheran Church of Hope, and I'm going to stop right there and let Melissa introduce herself. So Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're at and what you do.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for having me. It's really an honor and a privilege to even be here, be asked this. My name is Melissa Dale. I work at Lutheran Church of Hope. I'm the Celebrate Recovery Minister. I've worked there for 9 years. I run Celebrate Recovery. And as a result of that, we like to introduce ourselves this way. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I struggled with addiction and codependence. And my name's Melissa. Wow. I've worked there. I've been in recovery myself for 16 years and have done a lot of things to be able to get the word out and try to help people the best I can.
Oh, nice. And just because maybe not everybody that's watching this morning is familiar with Celebrate Recovery, could you tell us just a little bit about what is Celebrate Recovery? What does it do? How does it help? Those kind of things.
Absolutely. So Celebrate Recovery is it's a program and a fellowship for people with, we call hurts, habits, and hangups. It's not necessarily just drug addiction or alcoholism. It's everything. We kind of believe that if you have a pulse, then you can be at Celebrate Recovery. Everybody's got something. So it's for everything. It does follow the 12 steps, but even better, it follows the Beatitudes of the Bible. So it's a Christ-centered 12-step program found in churches, over 35,000 churches around the world. That number's probably grown since I've even mentioned it. And it continues to grow. It's worldwide. So it's a beautiful program for people learning how to do life together, fellowship. And we call it a discipleship factory, actually. You walk in the door broken and hurt, and by the time you go through this program and stuff, you're out there telling people about Jesus. And that's what we love to see.
That's awesome. And pre-pandemic, there was a weekly gathering of Celebrate Recovery. Is that right?
Yeah. So before the pandemic hit, about the 1st of March, let's say, we were meeting every week as a group. We'd start the night off with dinner. We'd have a large group time with worship, the full thing. Then we'd go into small groups broken out by gender and by topic or issue that you're dealing with. So then we'd get back together after that time with coffee, fellowship, and we have programming for the whole family. So for the children, there's a thing called Celebration Place where they get to learn about their own hurts, habits, and hangups. And for teenagers and high school students, there's a thing called The Landing where they get to learn about their hurts, habits, and hangups and how they can process through the same 12 steps in age-appropriate ways and actually get the healing. So because we know that recovery isn't just about the one person that has something going on. It's a whole family issue. So we have something for everyone. So pre-pandemic, it was a family affair. It was something everybody could come together and join. Now, with the pandemic has hit the way it is, a lot of Celebrate Recoveries are doing just what we're doing right here. We're doing it right through Zoom. We're writing some curriculum for the youth, doing stuff for The Landing. A lot of Celebrate Recoveries are doing Facebook Lives. In fact, the national team does a Facebook Live every night at 8 o'clock. You can go to Celebrate Recovery Facebook page national and see the national team talking to people, and it's really awesome. So we're doing the very best we can during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. Some smaller churches are able to start looking at opening, and a few have. So if it's just going to be really hard for Lutheran Church of Hope to open because we had over 200 people coming each week. Mm-hmm. So it's going to just take a little time before we can get back to doing what we were doing.
Absolutely. And if my memory serves me correct, Celebrate Recovery actually started in Southern California, right? At Rick Warren's church, Saddleback. It was kind of a outgrowth of something they did there, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So the pastor, John Baker, the founder of Celebrate Recovery, he had been in secular recovery for many years. And he was taken back by the fact that saying the name of Jesus Christ as my higher power was frowned upon. People, and I understand that. I'm not putting down any other program. Please hear my heart on that, because I believe everybody has a right to recover no matter what faith or religion they are. But for a Christian person who believes and knows that Jesus Christ stepped up and saved them from what they were going through and walked them out of a pit. It just became very cumbersome for him to continue in that manner. So he went to Rick Warren and wrote a 13-page letter. It's a famous letter now, and said, this has got to be a Christian program. It started out that way, so why can't we take it back that way? And Rick Warren, if you know him at all, he looked at him and he said, John, that's a wonderful idea. Make it happen. So they wrote the program, A Celebrate Recovery, and realized that the Beatitudes play a huge role in recovery, and grace and everything else that we have. So they went together in on that and wrote the full curriculum of Celebrate Recovery, The Landing and Celebration Place.
Wonderful. It's a great program. And I think you guys at Hope through Celebrate Recovery are doing an incredible job. Okay. Obviously, as you've talked about, your programming has had to shift, but even probably more important than that, the pandemic has had a tremendous impact. Even those that may not have the, I'll call them the traditional habits, hurts, or hangups. You know, we always have the most, I'd say the ones everybody talks about, the alcoholism and things like that. But, you know, with the pandemic, we've seen it impact everybody in some mm-hmm. way or another. But how have you seen the pandemic impact the statistics on addiction, like with alcohol use, porn, you know, drug use, all those things? What have you seen?
Yeah, so the recovery world, the impact, one of the first statistics I heard when the pandemic started was how the alcohol sales increased. I believe that is understandable because the bars closed. So yeah. People typically go to bars, had to buy their own alcohol. But I also believe that it was a coping mechanism for a lot of people that maybe weren't drinking as much before, but found it comforting now. Certainly online pornography, online gaming, online gambling with the closing of casinos, those things I'm sure are on the rise. But even more deeper, things like codependence, where we're trying to control everything and everyone around us, and it just makes our life crazy when things aren't just so, or anger because a lot of addictions and these habits that we form are rooted in other things. And those roots, I think, are being attacked more right now. In other words, I'm out of work, and I'm scared, and I'm frustrated, and I'm lonely because I'm by myself. Now I've got anxiety and depression and fear and worry. And a lot of times we're going to look for something to help us feel better about that, help us cope. And left to ourselves, we come up with some really crazy things sometimes, like eating a lot of cake would be a great idea. You know, they joke about the COVID-19, but for those of us in food recovery, that's not a funny thing. That whole total relapse and take a lot of work later. So I think that there's a lot of things going on. The depression and loneliness are going hand in hand. It's really been a hard thing to try to reach those people that are sitting at home alone and maybe aren't looking for recovery. So one of the things I'd like to encourage people is, if you are sitting home alone, if you're watching this today, please reach out. There is so much help for you. And I don't care what it is that you're going through, because like I said, it isn't necessarily just about addiction. It's about hurts, habits, and hangups. Are you hurting? Are you hungry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? You know, are you angry? There's help. And I just encourage you to reach out for help.
Oh, very good. In fact, as you said that, our associate pastor will put a link in the chat window right now that if you need help, all you have to do is click that link. It'll shoot an email just to me with your name. And you don't even have to tell me what, but then I will reach out to you directly and we can look and figure out the best avenue to help you in this moment. I think what most people need to just understand, though, is that what they're experiencing is because this whole situation is abnormal, but those feelings looking for ways to cope is really a very normal, natural human response. Is it not?
Absolutely. You know, we as people, because we're human beings, and we will look for something to minimize the negative impact of things going on around us. And we are flawed human beings. So sometimes our first thought on how to help ourselves may not be the best thought. We want to try to look at healthy things, things that we can do that do not take us to a place of guilt or shame. You know, if we haven't drank for 10 years and we think that a drink right now in the backyard is going to be okay, what's going to happen is you're going to end up with guilt and shame. You're going to feel bad about that. And it's the same way with eating. It's the same way with being controlling. It's the same way with anger. It's the same way with anything that you're going through. So our first thought may not always be the most healthy thought. I would ask you to take a moment and look for some healthy ways to deal. What are those ways? Well, some of those ways can be get out and take a walk. COVID's not going to be on your sidewalk out front. It's probably not the grass in the park either. So you can get out and do some things. Reach out. So get out and reach out. And then speak up. Do not be afraid to speak up and say, hey, I'm hurting. You know, it's okay to not be okay. They've written songs about it. It's a t-shirt and it's the truth. It's okay to not be okay. But what's not okay is to try to find those really unhealthy things that you don't want to do anyway. The Bible talks about that. You know, I'm a wretched man for I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do. And here I am. And you know, this is the human condition, but guess what? We got a God that's bigger and he wants to help you and he's going to put people in your path to walk this out with you.
That's so good. That's so good. You know, as I think about people, as you were talking about the person that may want to go to the backyard and have a drink, you know, obviously if you are a recovering addict, you know, there's a kind of a different mentality that you have to have because you know that one drink can lead to that whole slide. But what about the individual that may not see themselves as the addict? What is it that, how do you know when maybe your behavior has moved beyond the normal, just I have a drink here and there, or I gamble online here and there, or whatever? How do we know when it's moved to that addiction type level?
Yeah, so if it's, you got to really take a look and say, is it interfering in my life? Am I being impacted in negative ways? Do my thoughts of that thing, whatever that is, do my thoughts continuously cycle around it? Can't wait till 4:30, going to have a beer. Can't wait till I can get back online. Oh my gosh, I lost all of my money. What's your thought patterns? Where's your cycle at in your head? And, you know, is it impacting you or your family financially, emotionally? Is it affecting anyone around you? Now, a lot of people are like, I live alone. I've got plenty of income and it really doesn't matter. Well, you'll know when you know. You will know. You will hear that voice inside of you that it's time to quit. A lot of people will deny this stuff. They'll say, you know what? I got this. Anytime I hear somebody say, I got this, I call those the famous three last words. I got this. Because, honey, you probably don't got this. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, God's got this. I used to think that way. You know, I used to think after I got, because my recovery story, I got clean off of meth, off of alcohol, off of gambling, quit smoking cigarettes, bad relationships, all of these things. And they kind of came at one at a time. Some of them went together in a group. And I used to think, you know, for gambling, that was one of my biggest ones. I think, you know what? I make enough money. It's my money. I'm not hurting anybody. It's not illegal or immoral. But it was causing me great hardship. It wasn't who I wanted to be. Truth be told, it was financially destroying me. It was hurting me. And so when we look at these things, I always do this for myself. I ask God, what do you want for my life? Yeah. So here's kind of a funny way I do that. Father God, I got paid today and I'm thinking about going and spending my money at the casino. What do you think about that? And you know what? Never once has he come back and gone, that's a great idea. And go gamble. You know, it's never once happened like that. So for me, it's been helpful for me to bounce it off of God and ask him what he would rather have me do. But I realized that not everybody is willing to just stop and think about what they're doing and have a conversation with God about it. And I realized that not everybody's going to hear back and things like that. So what I want to say to you is, does it bring you joy? Does it bring you life? Even further than joy, does it enhance your life? and the people around you. You know, recovery isn't just for you. Recovery is for the whole family. Yeah. And we got to be thinking outside of ourselves, because when we start thinking only about ourselves, that's what gets us really messed up.
Yeah.
Become self-centered and self-consumed and self and not self-aware. Boy, it could really send me down a bad path.
Yeah. And as you were talking, it is so clear that your faith has been a critical part of this journey out of addiction for you. And of course, Celebrate Recovery is faith-based. What do you say to people who, how has your faith made a difference in that for you in overcoming and finding freedom from addiction?
Well, my faith journey, I mean, I was baptized as a baby. I knew about Jesus and God, and I prayed to him, and I reached out to him, and looking back, I see so many places he stepped into my life. But my faith journey really started in jail when I reached out to God and surrendered my life to him. I gave him full total control of my life, and I saw changes. I saw changes happening. And so he became, my relationship with God became very real and very ongoing. For the people who don't believe yet, my first many years in recovery, even though my relationship was with Christ, I was in secular recovery. And there's a higher power. We have to believe that there is something bigger than ourselves. You know, the second step, the first step is that we believe that we've got a problem and it's making our life unmanageable. You know, the second step talks about there's a higher power and I'm not it. For us Christians, for people who don't know about a higher power, I want to say, check out this Jesus thing. Check it out. Give it a chance and talk to other Christians. But if you don't know yet, it's okay, because God will work with you on that. He understands that we are not all on the same page at the same time. Give it, you know, we call it honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. If you're honest about what's going on and you're open-minded to the fact that you are not God and you are not the controller of your universe, that there's something bigger, and you become willing to surrender your life to that something bigger, things will change. So give Jesus a chance. He's real. I'll tell you.
Amen. You know, and as you were talking, it was just such a good reminder. Even the people that look like they have it all together, none of us get to say, "I've arrived yet." There will be a day, but that day is not today. And I think that's what we all need to remember, is that none of us have this all figured out. And that's why it's so important for programs like Celebrate Recovery. Now, I assume that because you when you're talking about Celebrate Recovery, you said you guys normally meet, is it Thursday night? Is that when you guys would meet before the pandemic?
Yes.
The community aspect of being together to worship and then breaking up into those small groups, I'm assuming community is very critical to part of this recovery process. Is that right?
Absolutely. Our recovery, our issues very likely started relational. A relational breakup, a bad relation with family as a child. We got into a spot probably because of some bad relational experience drove us into whatever. Not always the case. Sometimes people become addicted just at the first drink of a beer, and then they're addicted. That can happen. They could have a beautiful family, everything perfect. But in the course of our addiction, our relationships have suffered now, and our relationships are bad. So recovery communities are built on that. They're called communities for a reason. We have to learn again how to have good, healthy relationships. It's really difficult to not have that going on or feel that going on right now during the pandemic. One of the reasons that we gathered with a meal for Celebrate Recovery is because sitting down as a family as a meal is important. You know, we call each other forever family. We might not have the best family structure at home, but we have each other as a forever family. And that is a huge deal. But now with the pandemic, getting together in small groups, being able to give hugs, being able to cheer for each other and lift each other up, being able to stand up and shout and worship and praise each other when we've made milestones, or even call each other up when we're not showing up. Those kinds of things are missing, and it's really hard. I want to tell you, if you are in recovery right now and you are missing those things, I'm right there with you. Every Thursday night, my whole family, if you will, would be at Celebrate Recovery. My forever family would be there. And it was quite hard the first few weeks. I cried every Thursday. But you know what? We can still be a family, and we can still get together, at least in 2D, if you will. It's hard. If you're new to recovery, my heart goes out to you, because it's even harder, because you don't understand the steps yet and you don't know how to do that. But guess what? We've got help for you there. We've got people that have been in recovery for a very long time, willing to walk alongside you, willing to all. If Pastor will just send me an email, or I can give him my email address and he forward it on to me. I got people in recovery that are more than happy to walk alongside you. You're welcome to join our Celebrate Recovery on Thursday nights via Zoom. It's open to anyone. It's not specific to just a church or a denomination. It's wide open to everybody. So I get that the fellowship and being 2D right now is difficult, but it's better than nothing. And you don't have to go through this alone. We are here for you. We're very tangible, real people.
Absolutely. One of the core things I believe is that we have individualized faith way too much sometimes, and that it was never meant to be that way. And yes, it is always, and it just resonated with me when you said, you've got somebody that's willing to walk with you. And that is such a powerful statement to tell somebody that may be sitting in a moment of despair and addiction, thinking, I'll never break this. There is someone that is willing today to pick up the phone, to call you, to Zoom you, to FaceTime you, to whatever, to help pick you up from wherever you are and say, there is hope beyond the addiction that you have right now in your life. And I hope everyone listening to that hears it. Sometimes in the Christian world, we sometimes do a disservice, that sometimes we give trite answers to complex problems. And so when we encounter somebody with an addiction, they have a drinking problem, and we say, oh, just pray about that more. Jesus will take it away. How do you respond? I'm sure you've encountered that. How do you respond to that?
Jesus can take it away, but again, this is a relationship. You can't just sit there and wait for it because you're not doing your part. You know, your addiction or issue or hurt, habit, or hangup is not a result of Jesus not listening to you. And I think that when we say you're not praying right, you need to pray more, we're sending a message that says you're not doing something right, and because of your actions, he's not listening. That's never been the case in the Bible. Because of your actions, he listens. You know, he's listening. He's ready for you to join him in a relationship. It's all relational. Get into a relationship with him. Now, I have heard people say, I have been delivered. Praise the Lord. I am delivered from that evil. You might be, but if you are not active in your recovery, chasing it, sharing the message of recovery, helping others in recovery, if you are not doing more with it, it is, you know, I call them, this is my funny thing, I don't know, yeah, I'm calling that my sock puppet, and my sock puppet talks to me, says, yeah, you got this, you've been delivered, you're fine, go ahead and have a drink, it's not going to kill you, or whatever, go ahead and gamble, it's not, and it talks to me, because it's still there. And so it's really important to stay focused in recovery and to take that sock puppet out of your life. Because I have trouble when someone says they are totally healed and delivered. Listen, I haven't done meth or alcohol for 16 years. I haven't gambled for 16 years, but I will never tell you that I am completely free of that addiction. I'm telling you that at any given moment, I can turn around and mess up, and I won't, because I am looking to Jesus. Again, Lord, what would you think if today I go out and just have a beer? He'd be like, no.
Not a good idea.
You know, so I say you go after your recovery as hard as you go after that comfort that you were looking for that got you into that spot. You go after it as hard as much as you, if you're codependent, as much as you're trying to control everyone else's life and make sure everyone's okay, please make sure you're okay. Work on you. Your relationship with Christ and your recovery is something that you can do to get out of that hurt habit or hang up that's got you stuck.
You know, sometimes as we deal with these things, sometimes if we're not active in resisting, they can sneak up on us. You know, I think, a young man sitting at home in the evening, you know, that first thought about that porn addiction that he might have, it has a tendency to sneak up on us, or that go have a drink. What would you say to that person? How do we prepare ourselves against that moment at 10 o'clock at night when that thought enters your head? You know what I'm talking about. What would you say to that person? Yeah.
Well, I will say, first of all, the thought won't kill you, but the action might. So understand that those thoughts are a blip of a second in your head. They come in, but they want to consume you. That's where you're powerless over that thought coming in your head. You're powerless over it coming in your head. But you gain your power back when you take action against it. So you pick up the phone, you call a accountability partner, a sponsor, a pastor. There are online groups 24 hours a day. A program called In the Rooms is available. It's intherooms.com. You just go to it, and there's meetings all the time. So you reach out. If you have nobody to reach out for, this is why the second and third step are so important in our recovery. There is a God, and He's willing to help. Grab a Bible, start reading, grab some recovery stuff, get on YouTube and find that powerful. There are so many powerful speakers out there. Do whatever you can. Take a walk. Change your frame of mind. If the computer is a trigger for you, get off of it and go do something else. Go bake a cake. If eating is a problem for you, go cut some fruit. But whatever it is, you know, change your mind. That thought's going to come in, but you have control to change the thought process. Reframe it and say, hello, I know who you are, Satan, trying to get me back, and you do not have power over me anymore. So go to the foot of the cross and be dealt with by Jesus. I don't need you here.
Oh, that's so good. Melissa, this has been amazing. You've just given us so much good information to think about, to process. And again, if anybody is watching this today, at any point, we hope that if you need help, do not sit in silence. Do not sit alone. There are people ready right now, willing to help you. Do you have any final words, any final thoughts that you want to share before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that those negative thoughts and patterns that come into your head, you don't have to act on them. You never have to do that. It's not a have to. And I want to invite you to our Celebrate Recovery. We are on Zoom every Thursday night. If you want to do that, Pastor can send me an email with your information, and I will get you in there. And each week we send out the link and handouts and all of that. You're welcome to be a part of that. We just would love to have you there. And if you are brand new, give yourself a break and put together 1 minute at a time if it's necessary. Take it one more minute. If you're around for a while, take it one more hour. Every minute is a success, and every minute is important. And lastly, I want you to know that you matter. If you are sitting at home today and you think, hey, nobody cares. I don't matter. What does it matter? You matter. You matter to God. You matter to me. You matter to your church. You matter to this community. You are important, and you are worth the effort of recovery.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, thank you so much. Do you guys have a Facebook page at Celebrate Recovery Hope?
Yes. So we are at Celebrate Recovery-Lutheran Church of Hope.
Okay.
We also on Wednesday night have announcements and encouragement. So I do a lesson on Wednesday night for those who can't do Zoom for whatever reason. So you can connect with us there. I'd love to see you there. I'm on there every week. And just do hope, you know, just know that there's people that want to walk alongside you. You don't have to do this alone.
And if you can't remember any of that, go look at Lutheran Church of Hope's website, Google that, and there will be a link to Celebrate Recovery in one of those menus. I know that it's there.
Yes, well, it's under the care button.
Care button. There you go. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, and God bless you and all the work you're doing at Celebrate Recovery. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. God bless you all.